chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 16. And when you get there, you can go ahead and say amen. Speak. If you want to title the message, you could title it Season of Miracles. Somebody say Season of Miracles. And I want you to take that personal this morning, because it is a season of miracles for your life as well. And it's leading into something great. Somebody say amen. I want you to understand that the season that you're in is a season of miracles. And it is leading into something great. Because God is a progressive God. He goes from glory to glory. And this morning, there's something special that's taking place in our lives. And I thank God, you know, for Christmas. I'm thankful for that first Christmas. That first Christmas, because Jesus, when he came as a little infant like that, as a baby, you know, God shattered any misconception of God, that God would be an angry God or a judging God. When he came and he did that, and he sent his son as a little baby into this world, it really said a lot about who God is. That he's a gracious God and a good God and a gentle God, and somebody that would do that for us. It said a lot about the nature, the character of the God that we serve. It said, today there is born to you a Savior. A Savior, amen? God didn't send somebody that was going to teach morals or commandments, even though he did some of that. But he sent a Savior. So in other words, his mission, Jesus didn't come to just do that, teach commandments and more. No, he came to die for us. He came to die on the cross for us. You know, when you're drowning, say if you're drowning, right? You're drowning and somebody walks by, you're drowning. Okay, you don't need someone to say, oh, here, I have a book on, you know, how to swim for dummies, right? You need somebody to save you when you're drowning. Come on, somebody. How many know we were drowning? Amen. He sent a Savior into this world. Amen. And when we messed up, he could have just wiped us out. In all reality, he could have just wiped us all out. He's God. He was there before there was an earth, before there was human mankind. But because he loved us so much, he was not willing. You understand that? Because he loved us so much, he was not willing to just wipe us out. He could have easily just wiped us out, started over, done something out, right? But he didn't. There was a flood, there was Noah, but there was a lot of things that took place there, which we're not going to get into. But he preserved mankind through Noah. Okay, he preserved mankind. You and I. He was not willing. It was his love. Somebody say his love. So this morning in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 16, also today, just for information's sake, and it's also the first day of Hanukkah. Amen. I just thought you might want to know. I thought it was a fun fact. Hanukkah is not like Christmas. It's a different kind of, it celebrates a victory of Maccabees over the Syrian army. And how many know God's people, Israel, they always won victories when they were outnumbered. And then the Hanukkah actually, I'll just give you a little more. The Hanukkah, I just learned it, I'm going to be honest with you. The reason why the candles, the eight candles, because there was a miracle that happened. They had oil only enough for so many hours, because it was a rededication of the temple. They took it back from the Syrians, and that day's worth of oil lasted 8 days, and it kept the candle lit for 8 days. That's why they have the eight. It was a miracle for the people of God. That's why they have the eight candles. Amen. So, a little fun fact there for you. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. If you have it, say amen. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." Somebody say a Savior. "Who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. Think about that scene. Wow, amazing. This season of miracles. Gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. That's right. Father, in Jesus' name, God, this morning, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the Christmas miracle. Thank you, God, for being who you are, sending your son as a baby into this world for us. It shows who you are. It shows how you loved us. It shows how you are not willing that we would perish. We thank you for being that God that we serve, the good God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Thank you, Father God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can go ahead and be seated this morning. Somebody say, season of miracles. You know, these verses, I want you to understand that these are very important to our faith. Somebody say, amen. Very, very important to our faith. What we believe, who you are as a Christian, is very, very important to our faith. To us, you know, as believers, as Christians, the virgin birth, that's one of the main things that is what we believe that makes us Christians, that makes us who we are. We believe in the virgin birth, right? And so it's very important to our faith. As you can see, this goes all the way back from Genesis. All the way back from before we were, this was already in the heart of God. So this is very, very important to you and I and everything that we believe and everything that we stand for. When you talk about Christmas, if there's anything that it is, when you look at the birth of Jesus being God in the flesh to the King trying, you know, if there's anything that when you look at the birth of Christ, it's a true season of miracles. Amen. It's a true season of miracles, right? From the Immaculate Conception to Jesus being God in the flesh, to the King trying to kill all the male children and them escaping it, to the angels that appeared, to the heavenly host that sang, and that the Savior that was born on that day. It is a true season of miracles. And because of that, it is a season of miracles for us as well. In other words, anything can happen. Because of what Jesus did, because of Christmas Day, because of the miracle of the virgin birth, that means that in your life, in my life, anything can happen. God is able to do anything within our lives. Amen? You're sitting here today, and there's very many miracles around you, among you. You're sitting in the midst of many miracles because of this miracle that took place on Christmas Day. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap. If you're a miracle. And so it's a season of miracles for us as well. From the miracles that are seated here today to what happened the other day when we had our Christmas toy giveaway. Miracle took place on that day. Somebody say amen. And it's a season of miracles. And not only that, this is something that was prophesied. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. When Jesus laid on that cross and then he gave his life, he said, "It is finished." He said, "It is finished." The work that he did for your and my redemption was finished. The prophecies that were made concerning him coming and dying on the cross was finished. This prophecy of the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 7, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." It's a season of miracles. Somebody say amen. They had never, even when you fast forward to what took place there on Calvary, on the cross, those Roman soldiers, they had never seen anything like that. When he was there and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You don't do that when you're on a Roman cross being executed. You don't do that when you're on a Roman cross after you've been whipped almost to death. And you're on that cross. You don't say, forgive them for what they do. You curse things. You say things. It wasn't me, something. But you don't say that. You understand that when they would lay people down on that cross, when they would lay them down to be crucified, the Roman soldiers would crucify them, that they, you know, these people were fighting. You know, like if you're trying to strap someone in the electric chair or something like that, they're fighting. They're cussing. They're mad. They're angry. They're yelling vulgarities. They had never seen what they saw when they saw Jesus. Jesus went to that cross and he laid himself down on that cross. He laid himself down. He didn't die. They tried to kill him before all that. He didn't die at some whim of human mankind. He laid his life down willingly for you and I. They were blown away when he laid down on that cross. He laid down because he was here to do that for you and I. Somebody say amen. The thing about this season of miracles, the thing about this season is that it was an ordinary season. Somebody say amen. It was an ordinary season. It was ordinary times. It was people like you and me that were in this story that we read in the Bible. And that's how God is. That's how God is in your ordinary life. In our ordinary day, with you, an ordinary husband, with an ordinary wife, and ordinary kids, I want you to know that the same way that God did something extraordinary in that time is the same way that in your ordinary life, God is up to something extraordinary that he wants to do within your life. You know, somebody wrote something, I thought it was kind of funny. They wrote something, change it up a little bit, and this is what they wrote. They said it was called Jesus is Better Than Santa. Come on, somebody. Is it because either Jesus or Santa Claus is the main character of a lot of different people during Christmas, right? Is Jesus better than Santa? Santa lives at the North Pole. Jesus is everywhere. Santa rides in a sleigh. Jesus walks on water. Santa comes but once a year. Jesus is an ever-present help. You have to stand in line to see Santa. Jesus is right there when you mention his name. Come on, somebody. Santa's little helpers make toys. Jesus makes new life, mends wounded hearts, and builds mansions in heaven. How many know you're going to get a mansion in heaven? Come on, somebody. Santa fills your stocking with goodies, but Jesus satisfies your soul and deepest needs. Santa says, you better not cry. Jesus says, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Come on, somebody. Santa comes down your chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at your heart's door and knocks. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. I want to give you, because like I said, it's very important to our faith. In these verses that we read, we see some very important things about Jesus Christ and his coming to earth and our faith. And it's vital for us to understand and know. So I want to share just quickly a few things here. And we see, first of all, that his divine origin. In other words, he was God, right? He was man, but he was God. He came from God. He was divine. There was an event that took place, but there was an event that took place before the birth of Christ in the manger. Even before the conception of Christ in Mary, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And it was the sending forth of Christ from God the Father. Okay, we're told in Galatians chapter 4:4, it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Okay, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Before he was, you know, in the womb of Virgin Mary, before he was in the manger, come on, somebody, God sent forth his Son. Okay, He sent forth his son. See, Christ has always existed with the Father. Somebody say amen. Jesus the Christ was born. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When was the beginning, right? So billions of years back of creation, he already was. He already was there. Somebody say amen. And he came out of eternity to meet us. He did not, in other words, he did not begin. He did not begin. He was not created. Even though he came as a baby, he already was before, billions of years before. He was already with the Father in perfect fellowship. He did not begin. He took in the form of a body, but he already was. He always was. He's always been there. Right? One of the brothers was asking me the other day. He was asking me a question. He said, you know, well, then who created God? Well, obviously, it was a good question. I said, that's a great question, you know, brother. But nobody created God. God has always been there. When there was nothing, he was there. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. As a man, Jesus prayed to the Father. Listen to what he prayed when he prayed to the Father. He said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Christ had always existed in perfect loving fellowship with God the Father. And one day at the precise time, God sent him forth. In other words, it was God's plan even before there was a world. Come on, somebody. That's why before you were formed in your mother's womb, the Bible says that he knew you. Come on, somebody. Sometimes I find it hard to wrap my mind about around it, but the fact of the matter is that before you were born, God knew you. He knew you by name. He knew he had a plan for you. Come on, somebody. You're sitting there this morning, and you might just be discovering the plan that God has for your life, but God had that plan for you before the foundations of the earth. In other words, this morning, Jesus made a conscious choice to be sent. Okay, in Philippians 2, it says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus made a conscious choice to be sent. Just like he made a willingness to lay himself down on that cross, he made a conscious choice. The Father was willing to send him, and Jesus was willing to go. Okay? He loved you so much. The Father loved you so much that he was willing to send his one and only Son for you. And Jesus, right, part of the Trinity, loved you so much that he was willing to be sent by his Father to go through what he had to go through to redeem you and I so that we are be able to be sit here today and be free and called children of God. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. So Jesus willingly and obediently and lovingly left the place of glory and sinlessness and ceaseless worship and perfection and unbroken fellowship with the Father. From the bosom of the Father, he was willing to go to the womb of the Virgin Mary. Imagine all the fullness of the Godhead was dwelling inside this young virgin 16-year-old girl. Somebody say that's powerful. You know, the difference between Christianity and every other faith in the world is that all other religions are about man trying to reach up to God, but Christianity is about God reaching down to man. Come on, somebody. So what does Christmas mean? How else do you explain the meaning of Christmas in just a few words? Well, one of the best ways is this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. Somebody say amen. In other words, no one can outdo what God has done. No one can outdo what God has done. The enemy can try to outdo what God has done, but he can't outdo God. The enemy can try to duplicate. He can try to mimic. He can try to tempt you into thinking that it's better than God. He can try to deceive you into believing that it's something better than what God can do. Come on, somebody. I know what I'm talking about this morning. He could pretend that it's greater than God, but nothing even comes close to what God has done for you and I. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap if you understand that this Christmas. And not only that, but no one could ever give a greater gift than the gift that God has already given you and I. There's no greater gift than can be given than that gift of redemption, salvation, in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, Christmas means a lot of things to a lot of different people. To many, it's a time of, when you think about it, you look at the movies and you look at the programs and you see the commercials and you see all the different things taking place and you hear family members and coworkers, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. To many, it's a time of shopping and spending. It's a time of parties and friends. Come on, somebody. A lot of different things. But the real meaning of Christmas is something more to every single one of us. Here's a few things that to us Christmas is. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this new year. I'm excited for this new year and what God wants to do in yours and my life this year. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap if you're looking forward to 2020. I'm excited about it. You know, God has been, you know, when God, we begin to pray, we begin to ask God for direction for the new year. And, you know, and it's a great, you know, it's a great year. You think about 2020 and a lot of people come out and even churches come out with different, you know, things that they're saying for 2020, you know, like 2020 vision and different things like that, right? So whatever the Lord gives them, right? But I've been really asking the Lord to really show me and give me direction. God really placed upon my heart that this year for Victory Outreach Pomona Church, that it is our now year. That it is our now year. Come on, somebody, that 2020 is our now year. It's a world conference year. It's an exciting year, but it's our now year. It's a time to inherit now. Come on, somebody. To possess now. To grow now. To change now. To multiply now. Come on, somebody. To break through now. Come on, somebody. To prosper now. It's a time for holiness now. Healing now. To overcome now. To have faith now. Come on, somebody. It's a time for Jesus now. It's our now year, and I'm excited about what God is doing. And I believe that even now in this time of Christmas, a season of miracles, God is already unfolding and setting up things that are going to take place this year. I feel a paradigm shift even coming upon my life. I've been waking up, and as the days go by, I'm beginning to look at things a little different. I'm beginning to see God is adjusting my vision. He's letting me see things that I didn't see before. You know, you ever had something and it's in front of you, but you don't see it? Then all of a sudden God touches you, and then you see what's been in front of you the whole time? Well, that's what God wants to do with some of you this year. You've been seeing a little blurry. It hasn't been that clear to you. Your vision has been there, but it hasn't been complete. But I want you to know in 2020, God, this year, it's your now year, and God is going to begin to show you clearly the great things that He wants to do in and through your life. Because there's a plan that God has for you. There is a place for you in this church. And if you've been in this church, and if you've been in a place in this church, there is still greater things that God has for your life. I want you to know that your capacity is even greater than what you have fulfilled so far. You have fulfilled so much, but there is even more to your capacity. That calling on your life means that there's even more things that you can do for God. You know, how many know that sometimes when we have been serving the Lord or doing things for God, we can settle for what we've done and always want to just continue to do that thing that we've always just done. But how many know there's more to what God wants to do in your life? You haven't even begun to tap in to some of the greater things that God has inside of you that He wants to do through your life. It's great the miracles that God has done in your life already. But how many know that God is not done with you? He took these people. He took Abraham from a place where he was there. And he was just willing to go out. He was willing to go out and leave his father's house and go to a place where he didn't know where he was going. He just stepped out in obedience. He wasn't yet the father of many nations, but he had to go through some things. But God led him away, amen. He had to pass some tests. He had to go through some testings. He had to go through the faith tests, amen. But lo and behold, God gave him the son of promise, and he was the father of many nations. And even then, God continued to grow him until it was time for him to depart. So what is Christmas to us? Christmas is, well, one of the things I mentioned already, it's a time of remembering. Remembering the great love that God had for each and every one of us. Somebody say amen. He loved us so much that He spared not His only Son that we might be saved. Somebody say amen. It's the uniqueness of the God that we serve. The uniqueness of His life, the uniqueness of His teachings, of His miracles, of His prophecies, of His death, of His resurrection. It's remembering what He's done for us personally within our lives. How many know that God has done something great for you personally in your life? Like that song that says, nobody knows where I was when Jesus touched me. Do you remember where you were, how you felt when you felt like you were all alone, but Jesus was there and Jesus touched you and changed your life and turned your life around? Secondly, not only a time of remembering, but Christmas is a time of loving. Somebody say love. During Christmas, people make and they should, and at least they used to. Come on, somebody. Make a special effort to be a little kinder. Unless you've been baptized in lemon juice, and we could pray for you though. Make an effort to be a little more kinder, a little more considerate to others. Even people that are not saved, they're a little bit more generous during the Christmas season. Come on, somebody. But especially when we have the true purpose of sharing the true meaning of Christmas, how many know that much more is God able to use us to demonstrate to others that they would see something different, that they would see what the true meaning of Christmas really is. In all of their busyness and all of their parties and all of their festivities and all of their gift giving, that somehow, some way, through the way that we are during this season of miracles and this Christmas season, that they would somehow see what the true meaning of Christmas is in their lives. That's why we had that Christmas toy giveaway, that children's play, so that those families that came and packed this place out 2 times would be able to see through our children what the true meaning of Christmas really is. And they could walk out of this place with a sense of a touch of heaven and the virgin birth being born with inside of their very own hearts. That's why we do it. It's a time of loving. Somebody say amen. Time to get involved. Help those in need. People give toys and they give food and they give clothes. It's a time for us reaching out to others. God so loved the world. Let us never forget that. Somebody say amen. And all we do, let us remember that the motivation for all of this is the love of God for lost sinners. In all that we do this Christmas season, let us remember that the motivation for all that we do is the love of God for lost sinners. That's what Christmas is all about. It is about the love of God for lost sinners in this world. And we celebrate it if we're saved. But we tell somebody, if they're not saved, that they could come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. He really cares about us. Somebody say amen. And because He really cares about us, that means that we should care like He cares. I said that means that we should care like He cares. Somebody say amen. That means He loves. So that means that we should love like He loves. Somebody say amen. And thirdly, it's a time of giving. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. It was a free gift. It was lovingly given. It was graciously given to all of us who were undeserved and sinners. Somebody say amen. And in that same spirit of gratitude should be, in that same spirit of gratitude for what He's done for us that we didn't deserve, should be our generosity and our giving. It should be out of that same spirit of gratitude for receiving something that we didn't deserve that should be the motivation for us to be extra generous. To be those people that God has called us to be and to be different than everybody else. It's one of the most unique marks that makes us a Christian. To be generous. To be givers. Why? Because we're grateful. Somebody say, I'm grateful. Are you grateful this morning? Fourthly, it's a time of forgiving. Come on, somebody. That's why He came. That's why He was born in the manger. So He could go to that cross. So that He can forgive me and you and you and you and you and your family members and your co-workers and whosoever should believe in Him, so that He could forgive them of their sins. Some of us might need to forgive this Christmas. Not me. Okay. Come on, somebody. But God was willing to forgive us. Am I right? God was willing to forgive us. He was willing to show mercy to a sinful, lost, and dying world. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do we possess His forgiving spirit? Or is our spirit a judgmental one that looks down upon others? Or is critical of others? Imagine if He was like that with us. Let me leave you with that thought this morning. I'm not trying to bum you out on Christmas. I'm trying to set you free. Because when you forgive somebody, you're going to be set free. You're going to get set free from that jail of unforgiveness that the devil tries to have you trapped in. But Jesus will come and break you out of that jail and set you free when you're able to forgive, because Jesus forgave you. Imagine if what if Jesus treated others the way we treat others? Talked about you the way you talk about others. I'm not just talking about just the people you like. You talk real nice about the people you like. Come on, somebody. Oh, I say nice things. I'm not talking about those people. Come on, somebody. What if He talked about you the way you talk about others? What if He criticized or was critical of you the way you criticize others? What if He judged you the way you judge? Think about it. He forgave us. 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 He said, if I forgive you, then you should forgive somebody else. Is there someone we need to forgive today? Remember, Jesus forgave you. And He died for them. Who you need? He died for them. To forgive them. Come on, somebody. That's what it's a time for. It's a time of change. Christmas is a time of change, is the next thing. He makes us new creations. It's a season of miracles, because what would otherwise be impossible is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit that we have in Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Because of God, we're able to change. It's a season of miracles, because when you're not able to change, the power of God is able to change your life and change my life and make us into the people that God wants us to be. We don't have to be stuck being the old man anymore. You don't have to be stuck being the old woman anymore. You don't have to be stuck with those limitations anymore. God is able to change you. The grace of God is able to change you. The love of God is able to change you. The power of God is able to change you. The word of God is able to change you. Season of miracles, because it's a season where you can change. Because Christ changes people for the better. I said Christ changes people for the better. You ever seen the movie, man, Scrooge? Come on, somebody. They didn't say it was Jesus, but it was Jesus. They tried to say it was three ghosts and a couple dreams, but only Jesus could change people like that. Come on, somebody. And that's why it's also a time of rejoicing. Come on, how many are rejoicing this Christmas? Come on, give the Lord a good hand clap. We're rejoicing, man. We're rejoicing in His undeserved mercy. I rejoice this morning. My wife woke up this morning, was broken, rejoicing because of the undeserved mercy of God that we realize that we have within inside of our lives. We're rejoicing in forgiveness, because when we look at all that we've done and all the sins that we've committed, and we rejoice this morning that the blood of Jesus has washed us whiter than snow, and we're redeemed and we've been made right before God, and we're children and sons and daughters of God. Not because we earned it or deserved it, but because He forgave us. And we rejoice in a new life with a new mission, with an opportunity for a new year. For a new year, this year is a year of opportunities because of a season of miracles that took place on Christmas. This year is a year of new opportunities. This year is a year of hope. You can hope for better things. You can hope for greater things. You can hope for things that seemed impossible in 2019. They can become possible in 2020 because of what Jesus did for you and I. It makes it possible. It's an opportunity for a new year. Doesn't matter if last year didn't fulfill all of the things you were aiming for. It doesn't matter because of what Jesus did for us. It's possible. So what does the coming of Christ into this world mean to you? Huh? He fades away all fears. Come on, somebody. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to be afraid anymore. He breaks down walls. That means that nothing can stop you. You felt like you couldn't change, but did you know that God breaks down those walls of impossibility in your life? What you thought you could never do, was there ever things in your life you felt, man, I could never do that? You know that little by little through your faith in the Lord, God begins to break down those walls of impossibility. I could vividly remember thinking that certain things were impossible to take place in my life, but I got good news for you this morning. I am standing in some things that I thought were impossible back then, and if God made this possible, then the impossibility that's standing in front of me, God is able to make that possible as well. You've broken through things that seemed impossible in your past. God has done things for you that you thought were impossible to happen, but He's already done them for you. That means if there's things that are standing in front of you in your future that seem impossible, good news, just like He broke that, He's able to break that stands in front of you right now because He's God all by Himself and He has the power to do so in everybody's life. Nothing could stop you. Christmas means that God brings a personal touch. It means that He's with you. He brings joy. Somebody say amen. He brings peace. He brings favor. Come on, somebody. And most of all, He brings salvation to our family members. How many have family members there believing that they're going to get saved? I want you to know this is the season of miracles for some of your family members this Christmas, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. Some of your family members are going to give their life to Christ because it's a season of miracles and God is able to do it in their life. If He did it for you, He can do it for them. The birth of Christ expresses God's personal touch. He's in verse 11, it says, has been born to you this day. Has been born to you. He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Unto this day has been born to you. He came to be born for you. That baby in that manger has been born to you so that you can have the life of freedom, of liberty, of living for God and serving God. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. One of the names of Christ is Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. God, listen, God can send His angel to deliver His people. It's not impossible with Him, right? He sends His angel, right, to deliver. But God chose to personally involve Himself in the redemption of mankind. Somebody say amen. Give the Lord a hand clap if you know that God is good. Jesus, somebody say Jesus. I want you to stand with me this morning. I want the worship team to come. Say Jesus. Think about that name. Say Jesus. Say Christ Jesus. Jesus, you understand the power of that name. Blew me away, even that little children's play that kids put on, and little Genesis playing the Virgin Mary, little Genesis with a little womb, a little pregnancy belly there. Thought it was so cute. And she says, there's her moment in that play, and she says, we're going to call Him Jesus. And I thought about how profound that is. It was meant by God before eternity to call Him Jesus. That was His name. It was chosen to be named Jesus. It meant something. It carried power. It carried possibility. to make impossible things possible. His name is going to be Jesus, she said. Jesus. He was given a name that was greater and grander than any other name in the world. Somebody say amen. He was given a name that is deeper than depth and higher than height and wider than width. Somebody say praise the Lord. He was given a name that put life back in the legs of a lame man at the pool of Bethesda. Somebody say amen. He was given a name that brought sight to a blind man in the city of Jericho. Somebody say amen. He was given a name that forgave forgiveness to a woman caught in the act of adultery. Somebody say amen. He was given a name that could take the heat out of a fever, that could break up a funeral procession and lift up the one that was in the casket. He was given a name that could tame a madman who had lost his mind and was able to send him back to his family. Somebody say amen. Listen, he was never farther than 100 miles away from his home, and yet his teaching has reached around the world. He never went to seminary. He never wrote a book. And yet there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written, the Bible says, one by one, the Bible says that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The world could not contain the amount of books if you were to write all of the things that Jesus has done. Do you understand the great things? That means that there's things that God has done that you don't even realize that he's done for you, but he's done them for you because he's a good God and he's a faithful God, and our God don't sleep and he don't slumber. He's always working. He's always active. He's always making a way even where there seems to be no way. He was so poor that he said to himself, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. His only pocketbook was the mouth of a fish so that he could pay his taxes. He laid in another man's manger. He rode on another man's donkey. He preached from another man's boat. He died on the cross in another man's place. He was buried in another man's tomb. And he got up from the grave for another man's redemption. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap this morning for Jesus and a season of miracles within your life. Isaiah chapter 9 says this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is his name, and that's what Christmas is all about. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap this morning if you know it's a season of miracles. Amazing. It's an amazing Christmas. It's an amazing Christmas. I want you to know this morning, it was an amazing Christmas. We hear a lot of stories, you know, that are, you know, fantasy, right? When it comes to Christmas, you hear about flying reindeer, a man called Santa Claus. But when it comes to the true meaning of Christmas, these were ordinary people. Ordinary Mary and ordinary Joseph, getting ready to be betrothed, getting ready to be married to one another. Just ordinary people. But God, who's an extraordinary God, interrupted their ordinary life. Come on, somebody. Interrupted their ordinary life and was about to do something that was going to change the world. And I want you to know this morning that in your ordinary, whatever your ordinary is, you're in an ordinary place, ordinary situation, ordinary season, with an ordinary job and an ordinary family. But I want you to know this morning that in that ordinary of your life, that God outside of your ordinary is planning something extraordinary. My question for you is, are you ready for the miracle that your ordinary is going to come into collision with? Because your ordinary is about to collide with the miracle from God. And if you're ready for it, and if you're ready to dare to believe God for it in 2020, I want you to know that God is setting you up for greater things than you ever thought or imagined, because God is faithful to your life. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good hand clap this morning. All over this place, lift your hands. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus came in an amazing way to this earth. But here's the awesome thing. Guess what? He's coming back again. I said he's coming back again. He's coming back again. With a shout, the trump of the archangel. And the dead in Christ are going to get up out of their graves and they're going to rise first. And then those that are left here standing are going to get caught up in the air with them. And Jesus is going to reign forever and ever and ever and ever.